Listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you are richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org. Now, here's Pastor Josh Vietti.
Kidding, joking, we joke a lot. How you guys doing? You guys are brave coming to church because I was back there for a couple of hours praying for you guys. Crazy things, praying that, you know, God would wreck the things in your life that need to be wrecked. You know what I mean? How many of you would be honest and say that's already starting to happen? Right? It's a weird time. It's a really weird time. And I'm going to talk to you guys tonight about reproof and how it's a good thing. And how God loves us enough to not leave us alone. And I just hope and pray that every single one of us can look at the Word tonight and that we can hear what He is saying to us, right? That's what matters, is what He is saying to you, what He's saying to us as a church, but us individually, and where He's calling us, because we're in a weird moment in time, but yet here we are, right? And God has called us to be here now. And so we got to deal with it. And so tonight, I'm going to be with you for about 25 minutes or so, 30, I don't know. I'm going to try to stay on time. But we're just going to speak, and I'm going to speak. When I say we, I mean me and the Holy Spirit. I really begged Him to. It's funny because I'll just give you the truth, the backstory, right? Like, I really don't like speaking. And I think I've said this before, right? I'm not a fan of it. Like, I'm not one of those kids that, like, watched the Disney Channel as a kid and thought, I want to be that kid on the Disney Channel. I'm like, no way, man. Like, that's cool that they're doing it. I'll watch it, you know? That's the kid that I wanted to be. And I wanted to grow up and just, I'd rather be behind the door, you know? I'd rather be behind the stage doing whatever they do back there. But I'm out here, and God has called me. And so when I walk out here, I don't walk out here on my own accord. I walk out here in obedience. And so when I, just in doing that, there's something special that happens every single time that I do it. And so I want to encourage you as we talk tonight to think about the things that God is asking you to do that you do not want to do. It's not on your to-do list for the day, right? The things that God is calling you to that you don't want to do, there might be more power in that than you can even imagine. Right? There might be more power in that than you can even, there's something going on back there, but I guess it's okay. Anyway, you get my point. Let's pray and let's focus on what God is doing in our lives. Father, we come to you right now. And Lord, we just want to get back to a few moments ago when we were worshiping. You are a way maker, Lord. You're a miracle maker, Lord. You are the one that's doing everything, Lord. You're doing it all. All we have to do is get in line and get on the ride because you're taking us, Lord, somewhere. And I pray that we would all have that ability to do that tonight, God, that we would have the ability to lay our lives down, really fully lay our lives down and to trust you and believe that what you have for us is bigger than what we have for ourselves. That it's bigger, that your imagination is bigger than ours. That your excitement level is more than ours. That your version of success is much higher than ours. Lord, that you are calling us as a church to be people of you. And the people of you are always blessed beyond measure. Lord, you're calling us into the promised land. You're calling us into the places that are a little bit scary, but they are full of treasures. And Lord, I pray, God, that you would just show us that. I pray that you would teach us and remind us of that, that you are for us, Lord. And if you are for us, who can be against us? Not even ourselves, not our neighbors, not the people on social media, not the news media, not whoever's going to be president or not president. Lord, you are for us. And so no one can be against us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Let's get into it tonight. All right, so we're talking about reproof. We're going to get into that for a second. I have had bouts of anxiety. I've always struggled with a little bit of social anxiety. I'm not a party guy at all. I hate parties. My wife is like, we're going to have a party. I'm like, oh God, I don't want to do it. I don't want to be around people. I get nervous. It's like I get sweaty and I just don't know what to say. I do weird stuff. And so that's just me. I've got this anxiety. So this anxiety has been coming at weird times. And so I'll pray and it'll go away. And then it comes back. And then I pray, and then it'll go away. And then it comes back, and then I pray. You get the point, right? Which is teaching me something. It's teaching me that prayer is important, right? And it's also teaching me that consistency is important, that continually praying and continually doing the things we're supposed to do is important. Praying, reading the Bible, coming together as a church, those are important things, but tonight, what I want to start with is I want to talk to you guys about the responsibilities that we have as believers. It's good that we pray, it's good that we worship, it's good that we do these things, but there's three main responsibilities that I want to get into, and then we'll go from there to the rest of it. But the first responsibility that we have as believers is to examine ourselves. I'm going to read to you 2 Corinthians 13:5. And it might be quicker for me just to read. I'll just read into the Bible. Okay, so 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. So examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves, or do you not realize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail to meet the test. I hope you'll find out that we have not failed the test. And so it talks about examining yourself. The same phrase of examining yourself is mentioned in 1 Corinthians 11, talking about communion. When we come to Jesus, when we come to God and we think about what Jesus has done for us, and we think about the fact that he lived and that he died and that his body was broken, we are receiving that brokenness. We're receiving the struggle that he took, right? And then when we think about the blood that was shed, we receive that as well. And in when we come together and take communion, I was thinking we need to do that. You want to examine yourself before you do that, right? You want to examine yourself, and you want to look into your own heart, and you want to trust that God is good. The second thing is dying to yourself. This is a fun one. Something that, let's do this. I was actually thinking we should do this tonight, and now I'm thinking we should do it. It's funny, I've had a plan, and then it went to kaput, and then I had another plan, and then it went to kaput. So I'm very mixed up right now, but it's good because I'm listening to the Holy Spirit. I'm trying really hard. I used to do this back in the day where I would be prepared, but I would really trust and listen to what the Holy Spirit's saying. So let's do this tonight, okay? We'll do it a little bit differently. As we go through these things, let's practice them. Like I think sometimes when we come to church, we talk and we listen and we hear, but we rarely do the things that we're supposed to do at church. So as we go through these, can we do that? I know it's weird online, and I apologize. And honestly, that's the reason why I was wondering if we shouldn't do it. But you guys can do this at home too, okay? So let's just do this. The first thing, talking about examining ourselves. Let's just take a moment right now. Let's close our eyes. And let's just think about who we are. Take a deep breath. Realize who God is. And let's look into our hearts right now. Father, I pray that you would show us what is in our hearts. God, earlier you showed me some things that were in my heart, Lord. You showed me that I'm lazy sometimes, Lord. You showed me that I don't always trust you. I don't always believe that your ways are best. And you showed me these things that were in my heart, and I laid those things down. So right now, just think about what is in your heart that doesn't belong. What is it? What is in your heart that doesn't belong? Examine yourself. Do you really believe that Jesus not only died, but he took upon all of your sins? so that you are clean before God. And then he rose from the dead, and in that, there's resurrection. Do you believe that? And what is it that's keeping you from walking that every single day? What is it on the practical level? What are you doing that you shouldn't be doing? Just acknowledge it and just lay it down. What are you not doing that you know you should be doing? What are you not fully trusting God in? Let's just acknowledge that and let's lay it down. Lay it down. Okay. Is that cool that we do this? We're going to go through all three. Is that all right? So the first one is examine yourself. The second one is die to yourself. The book of John chapter 3 is where I'm at now. So 3:25 through 30. It says, now a discussion arose between some of John's disciples and a Jew over purification. And they came to John and said to him, Rabbi, he who is with you across the Jordan to whom you bore witness, look, he is baptizing and all are going to him. John answered, a person cannot receive even one thing unless it is given to him free from heaven. Verse 28 says, you yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but I have been sent before him. The one who has the bridegroom is, or one that has a bride is the bridegroom. The friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly at the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is now complete. And then John says, he must increase, but I must decrease. So John's disciples were coming to him and saying, hey, this Jesus guy is stealing some of your fire. And John acknowledges that Jesus is doing the work now and that he needs to step down and he must decrease. This idea for John was very powerful because he would actually die soon. Now, I don't know what your life is like. I don't know what your future looks like. I don't know if anybody in here is going to die in the next week or so. It's possible, right? We all know that could happen. But even if we are not going to die, this idea remains of we must decrease. We must let go. We must not worry. We must realize that the power isn't us, right? It's God through us. And if we decrease, he will increase. There's a thing that happens there, and it's a very beautiful thing, and it's something that all believers need to understand. Another scripture, Matthew 16, 24 through 25. So 16, 24 through 25, Jesus says, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. So Jesus said, whoever loses your life, like losing your life for his sake, you'll find it. What does that mean? What does that mean, losing your life for his sake? Does it mean jumping in front of a bus because you say, I'm doing this for Jesus, right? No, that's not what it means. It's a mindset. It's saying that I'm going to let go. I'm not going to worry about my life. I was just praying back here. I was praying, Lord, I have no understanding about the future. And I don't know what's going to happen in the future. I don't know what my life is going to be like next year, right? I don't know what it's going to be like in 10 years. I have no idea. I'm along for the ride. Wherever you're going to take me, that's where I'm going to go. That's what it is. It's dying to yourself. Right? One of the flagship scriptures that we've been in, Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2. I have this memorized, but I'll read it anyway because, I might mess it up or something. So Romans 12, 1 and 2, it says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. And then it says, do not be conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, but you renew the way you think by letting God. Right? So dying to yourself is so important, and it's something that we should always be doing as believers on a regular basis. We should be continually dying to ourselves. And I know this doesn't seem normal, right? But that's what we should be doing. So we're going to do it. We're going to go through this, okay? So the first thing was examining ourselves. The second thing, I'm going to pray this right now. Father, I pray that you'd show us what is more important in our lives. What is more important in our lives than you. Lord, show us what we value or what competes, I should say, with you. Lord, show us what it is. Show us what in our life. Is it our career? Is it our family? Is it money? Lord, what is it? Is it status? Is it looks? Is it vanity? What is it, Lord? Whatever it is, show that to us, God. Reveal that to us. And Lord, right now, give us the strength to let go of ourselves. Give us the strength to let go of worrying about what people think about us. Give us the strength to let go of worrying about how we're going to come across or learning or worrying about how we're going to do this or that, Lord. Let us let go. Let us die to ourselves. Let us be living sacrifices. Show us what that means, Lord. I pray right now that you would help us to lay ourselves at your altar. And Lord, in doing so, let us have the heart where we say, do what you will with us. Whatever you will with our lives, do it, Lord. Whatever you will with our lives, let it be. Whatever you will with our lives, Lord, we are yours. We are serving you. So, Father, I pray right now that you give us the strength to let go and die to ourselves. I mean, is it just me, or do you guys feel like a weight also leaving when we do these things? There's a weight because we carry this weight with us. We carry all these responsibilities that we were never supposed to carry. We carry this stress. We carry all this stuff, all this junk. We carry it, and we don't have to. When you just read the word and follow it, it changes your whole life. If you read the word to memorize it, to argue with somebody, it changes your life in a different way, right? It just makes you more angry and just makes you miserable. But if you read the word in a way to where you are going to live the word, it does something to you on a very deep level. So the first one is what? Examine yourself, right? The second one is die to yourself. And the third responsibility that believers have is dedicating ourselves to exercising our gifts, which is the ministry side of things. So if you think about it in this terms, if you, let's say that you're not in the Spirit, not in the Holy Spirit in the moment, and you're upset, you're going through life and you're doing your thing, you're just not in the right frame of mind, right? Anybody ever been there? Not in the right frame of mind. If you do these first two things, it helps you get into the frame of mind of service, right? So like if you wake up in the morning, you have a fight with your wife, you get a speeding ticket, you go to work, you cuss somebody out because that's what you do sometimes on accident, right? Like you're not in the right frame of mind. But if you get away, right, and you examine yourself, you come clean with your heart and what is going on, then you die to yourself, then you're in a different place. By the end of the day, you can be ready to serve God again, right? With the fear of being called a hypocrite, but that's how it is. That's why people. It's so funny. I see people in this church that aren't perfect all the time because it's all of us, right? And people are like, "Oh, you're gonna let them serve?" I'm like, "Of course I'm gonna let them serve because it's God. God does His work daily with us. Like somebody could, God forbid, somebody could murder somebody in the morning and be serving him in the night in jail. But you know, it's still possible. Please don't go murder anybody, but." Do you see what I'm saying, though? Like, God does His work. He does His part. And our part's really simple. It's really easy. So the first is what? Examine yourself. The second is die to yourself. Third one is dedicate yourself to exercising your gifts. I'll try to think of a simpler way to say that, but basically it's ministry. Go to Romans 12. I'm going to drink this in a second here. Romans 12, 6 through 8. By the way, Romans 12 is an amazing chapter. There's so much in Romans 12. If you just read that, you know, every day next week, you'd probably be all right. So Romans 12, 6 through 8 says, where are we at? 6 through 8. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. Let us use them. It's so simple. You have a spiritual gift, so use it. You have a spiritual gift. So I told you when I walked out here, and I told you this on purpose, that I don't like particularly like speaking in front of people, right? And I wouldn't say that I'm naturally like gifted. I wouldn't say that like naturally I'm good at it. You know how some people have the gift of gab? Like they could talk about anything at any time and like they could give you a whole synopsis on almost anything. They just have all this information in their head all the time. You know those people? I'm not one of those people. You ask me a question on the street, I'm like, I don't know. Let me get back to you. But my spiritual gift is that I spend a lot of time with God, and I come out and he speaks through me. So you guys are actually seeing me exercise my spiritual gifts right now. Something happens when I get up and talk that's deeper than me. It's bigger than me. It's something else that's happening, right? And you guys all have spiritual gifts too. So it says, let us use them is what it says. If prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation. A lot of you guys don't realize exhortation, exhorting, giving people encouragement is a spiritual gift. Some of you guys have that gift. Are you using it? Are you using our, if you know that you have the ability to encourage people, there are a lot of people that need encouragement right now, right? So exhortation is one. The one who contributes in generosity, someone just giving money. That's a spiritual gift, apparently. I had no idea, right? The ability just to give. The one who leads with zeal. The one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. Serving God. If you want to know what your spiritual gifts are and you don't know what they are, you can go find a test online, I'm sure, do all that stuff. But the best way, the very best way, is just to sincerely start serving God and see what happens and take note of what happens. When you do these other things that I'm telling you that you ought to do, when you examine yourself and you die to yourself, then do the things that God puts on your heart. And then you will find yourself in a position where you are using these gifts that you never knew you had. It is a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful thing. Now, if we do our part, life will be completely perfect, right? No, it won't. And that's where people get thrown off. It's like, I'm going to do my part, and so everything's going to go really well for me, right? It's going to be great. But that's not what happens. Sometimes when you start doing your part, it gets much more difficult. It gets a lot harder. You go through growing pains, right? But the thing is God is seeing you. Think about it from his perspective. He's seeing you step up to the plate. You may be a horrible batter. I play baseball. I love baseball, right? You may be a horrible batter, and you might strike out, strike out, strike out. But you're up at the plate, and God sees you up at the plate trying to hit that ball, right? And when he sees that, he focuses on that. And you know what he does? He teaches you how to be a better hitter. He teaches you how to do it. And that takes discipline. That's not fun. That takes training. How many of you guys ever trained for something? It's not fun. It's not fun at all. There's nothing fun about it. The training is boring. It's monotonous. It hurts. But when God sees somebody that's ready to get in the game, then he sees somebody that's ready to train. And so when you start doing the things you're supposed to do, that's when it gets interesting, right? I want to talk to you guys really quick about having a growth mindset versus an affirmation mindset. Some of us, if we're honest, right, all we're after is affirmation. It's all we want. We want to be told we're okay. But that is not going to leave us in a mindset of growth. That's not going to leave us in a place where we are growing. Others of us are ready to take whatever comes, right? Ready to take it as it comes. And we're ready to grow. And that means that sometimes God will affirm you and sometimes God will correct you. Again, sometimes God will affirm you, okay? So you've got to accept that. I know some people beat themselves up. They never take the affirmation or the confirmation. They never take that part of it. They just constantly beat themselves up. I want to tell those people of you to receive it when it comes. God will affirm you because he loves his kids. He's going to affirm you. But for those of you that only hear the good, right? You only hear the affirmations. God will also discipline you. God will also whoop your little butt sometimes, right? Because he loves you. That's what God does. He doesn't leave us alone. And thank God for that. Thank God for that. There's a difference between these two words, and I want to focus on these really quickly, and we'll be done soon. There's two words, condemnation and conviction. Condemnation and conviction. One is good and one is not good. Okay? First, I want to focus on the one that's not good, condemnation. The Greek word for condemnation is katakrisis, K-A-T-A-K-R-I-S-I-S. You can look these things up if you want to go further, you can go to blb.org and you can look up all the Greek words. It's Greek, the Strong's number is 2631, if that's your thing, okay? But the word is katakrisis, and the definition of condemnation is it's the process of judging which leads to condemnation. Okay, it leads to a negative result. So basically, condemnation is proving that you are wrong and locking you up. That's what condemnation is, saying you don't belong. That's what condemnation is. When we feel that thought of I don't belong here, when you're at church or when you're with your Christian friends or when you're reading the Word, you feel that feeling, that nasty feeling that says you don't belong, you're not good enough, you messed up. They don't know who you really are. Everybody ever feel that feeling? Everybody hear those voices? That's condemnation. That does not come from God. As a matter of fact, in Romans 8, 1 through 8, a lot of Romans verses tonight. It says this. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So that voice that says you are not good enough is a false voice. It is the devil. It is the enemy. It's the darkness trying to pull you down. Okay? When you hear that voice, I do not belong. And I know that you feel that. I know that you hear that voice. When you hear that voice, you say, knock it off, devil. Get in the back seat, devil. Get behind me because I'm going somewhere. There is no condemnation for you because you are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has not done what the law, weakened by the flesh, cannot do. I'm not going to read the rest of this, but you get it. The point is that condemnation, which says you can't or you shouldn't, or you're not one of those Christian people, that is not from God. That's from the other side. The other one, however, conviction, is from God. Now, the Greek word for conviction, Greek number, Strong's number 1650, elegkos, I don't even know how to pronounce that. It means proof, evidence, or reproof. Proof, evidence, or reproof. Now, we all know what reproof means. It means that, somebody's telling you that they're disappointed in you if you get in a reproof, right? It means I'm not really happy with what you're doing. And God does that. God will tell us these things. He will say, I'm not happy with what you're doing right now. But this is a form of proof, a form of evidence that you are really his child. Hebrews 11, 1 says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. So the word conviction is used here in that form, right? In the form of faith. It's in the form of being used with the word faith, that you have a conviction, that there's something in you telling you that there's more to life, right? 1 Thessalonians 1. Where are you at, Thessalonians? That's like a hidden book. Are you guys, okay, they're right here. They're not on the TV, so that's why I was doing that. Okay, for we know, brothers, loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not only in word, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction. You know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your sake. And so, conviction is often a positive feeling. It's often a positive thing. It's like a proof that you are his. And so sometimes God gives us convictions that seem negative. They are in the form of reproof, right? They're in the form of a little slap on the hand, a little correction of the batting stance, a little, come on, you can do better, right? Like that happens. And when it does, God's intention is to show you that you do belong. God's intention is to show you that you are supposed to be here. God's intention is to show you that you are one of them, us, that you are family. That's what conviction is. So condemnation is the darkness, the devil telling you you can't, you trying to prove you wrong, but God's work is that he is proving you right. And sometimes that comes in the form of discipline. Sometimes God allows us to go through difficult times, and it is a form of discipline. So I'm not saying that COVID or the crazy stuff that's happening on the streets or anything that's happening in our country right now is necessarily reproof or not. I don't know. It's hard for me to say. I think that I can't speak for the country, okay? It's hard for me to do that because I don't know what God is doing with the United States of America. But I can speak for what he's doing in my life, and I can speak for what he's doing in the church's lives. And I think that God is allowing us to go through a bit of a difficult time in order to prove that we are his again. He is allowing us to go through a difficult time to remind us of the important things, to remind us to focus on him again, right? To focus on him again. Hebrews 12, 5 through 6 says, "And you have forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons." We are sons and daughters. And I think we forget that sometimes, that we are sons and daughters of God. There's no way in the world that I can disown my daughters, right? I'm not going to disown them. I'm not going to go home tonight and look at my 3.5-year-old in the face and say, "You don't belong here. Get out of here." I'm not going to do that. And I'm an earthly father. So if there's no way that I'm going to do that. In fact, I would do quite the opposite. I would do everything to tell her she belongs here, that she needs to be with me because I'm her dad. I'm going to take care of her. If I have that ability, imagine the ability that God has with us as sons and daughters. Imagine the ability that he has to keep us as sons and daughters. You and I, we are his children. We're his kids. We live in his house. We're not always good, but we live in his house. He might whoop us sometimes, but we live in his house. Do you understand what I'm saying? So if you live in his house, it says, "Do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord. Do not regard it lightly or be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he chastises every son whom he receives." See, God ain't gonna he's not gonna leave you alone. He's going to work you a little bit because he sees the potential. He sees that you're not doing everything you could be doing. You're not being everything that you could be, right? This is like an army like commercial or something, but you see what I'm saying? God looks down and says, "They can do better." He's telling you, "You can do better. I have more for you. I have all these gifts, all these things, all these blessings that I want to give you, but you gotta work a little bit harder. You got to do a little bit more. You got to go back. And you got to focus on what you need to focus on." This isn't in my notes, but I'm going to slowly, old-fashioned-wise, I'm going to actually turn the pages of my Bible here. I'm going to read you this. In Revelation chapter 2, it says, "I know your works, your toil and your patient endurance." This is a letter to the church of Ephesus. "And how you cannot bear with those who are evil, but have tested those who call themselves apostles and are not, and you found them to be false. I know you are enduring patiently and bearing up for my name's sake, and you've not grown weary, but I have this against you." This is God speaking to his children in his home. I have this against you, that you've abandoned the love you had at first. You've abandoned the love you had at first. You're doing a lot of good things well. You're doing really good, but you forgot your first love. So then he says, all you gotta do is remember from wherever you've fallen. Remember what you did at first. Repent. Do the works you did at first. And then he says, "If not, I will come and remove your lampstand," which sounds harsh. But basically, he's saying, I got a job for you. If you don't do it, I'm going to pass you up and go to the next guy who will. It's easy for pastors, I think, for people in my position who have this, like, you know, ooh, power. I get to talk in front of people, whatever. I think it's easy for us to start thinking that we're special, you know? And I was talking to somebody the other day, and I was telling them, we're not special. Like if I don't step up to the plate, if I don't constantly spend time in prayer, if I'm not on my knees, if I'm not asking for God's leading, and I'm not doing my part, God will can very easily set me aside, and he can move to the next person who's willing to do it. I'm not special. The only reason I'm special is because of him, because of what he's done for me. And if I don't do what I'm supposed to do, if I don't step up to the plate, God's not gonna disown me. He's not gonna hate me. You know, he's not gonna despise me. He's gonna be disappointed, right? Because he knows the blessings that I could have and the life that I could have by being in the game. And for those of us that are here, if you know Jesus, you're walking with God, you've made a decision for him, you're going to heaven. When that train comes, God will let you on. It's fine. But don't you want more than that? Don't you want more than just a ticket to ride, right? Don't you want more? Like, don't you want to wake up every day and realize that you are on an adventure with him? Isn't that what you want? That's what I want. I want to be in the game. I want to be in the game, man. And how do I get there? How do I get in the game? I just go back and do the things that I did at the very beginning. And you know what I did at the very beginning? I read the word and I followed it, and it told me to examine myself. Right? It told me to die to myself. And it told me to use my gifts. And that's what I've been trying to do. And it's hard, but God is reminding me. So I guess if anything, God has, he's whooped my butt. So I'm just sharing that with you. That's what I'm sharing with you. One more, we got to end. We've gone too long. The only scripture that I was going to share with you is Psalm 51. So that's your homework. Go read that. It's the psalm that David wrote after he messed up with Bathsheba, after he lost a child. Broken man, but you can see a sweetness in his spirit. So read that, Psalm 51. And then let's just pray. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for who you are, for what you do. God, I pray that you would take our hearts, Lord. I pray that you would let us remember how simple it is, how easy it is, and how much patience you have. And let us all have a desire to be in the game. It's time.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Give us our King.